Again, it's good to see everyone out this morning. We do have those that are visiting with us. We want to welcome you back and every opportunity you have to come worship with us here. Just double checking, making sure we got everything working this morning. So again, we're thankful that everyone is able to make it out. There we go. And we want to look at a lesson this morning. Brother Austin read for us from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 down to verse 20. In looking at a topic on fleeing sexual immorality, you know, Paul gives some thoughts on this. And you know, as we continue on each year, we get a little bit older. We have this topic that would come up. I want you to consider just a few things. You know, I graduated from high school in 2002. I'm 16 years out of it, but there was a lot of things going on whenever I was in school, going to inner city school in Cincinnati. I want you to consider just a few things this morning. As Paul is addressing, you know, fleeing sexual immorality. You know, we have a society, a culture that has been more and more developed, and numbers continue to progress. As we want to consider just a few things this morning in looking at this topic, we want to talk about fornication. We want to talk about this just for a few moments this morning as well. You know, you think about it, how summer is here, weather's getting warmer. Some people are wearing less clothing. And then some people's thoughts and desires have turned into other things. I'm not just saying it's just that time of the year, but it just seems to promote a little bit more. But think about it. Children under the age of 18. Right now, some statistics have shown, again, these are just some rough estimates, 65% under the age of 18 are sexually active. Between 6 or 7 out of 10 kids, if you have a group of 10 under the age of 18, are sexually active. It's just amazing to me. You know, it was, again, things were going on whenever I was in school. We had one girl and boy, they were dating together. And it's just amazing. I couldn't believe it, you know, trying to wrap my eyes on it. And this was at 16 years old, mind you, whenever I saw these things. Was it these two? They were such, and they had three kids already together. It seemed like, you know, every now and then you'd see someone end up being pregnant, and then there's all these different things going on, whether you talk about what the effects of it are. And out of this 65%, and then others that were involved, 58% find it no problem to commit fornication. To have sex before marriage. To have sexual relations with someone who is not your spouse. 58% find it no problem to have these types of actions. Now, that figure is also including adults. Not just saying that 65% of that number, but 58% of adults and children and everything find it no problem to have sex before marriage. To have sex with someone that's not your spouse. STDs, sexual transmitted, they're continuing to skyrocket. But again, just take note of this. When we talk about fornication, when we talk about sexual immorality, this topic fits for all ages. It's not just something for just the youth. There are people that are older that are in these similar types of relationships and wanting to commit these types of actions and everything. I can remember people I worked with that were older than me when I was living in Arkansas. There were people there that were, oh, we want to be able to try to just, we want to live together. We're going to have sexual relations together. They were five, you know, I was 21. And so these people were 50, 55, 60. I mean, this affects all different ages. Young and old and hard. But think about it with me just for a moment this morning. The view of sex has been softened. The verbiage. People don't want to use fornication. They want to try to make it less, you know, fornication, that's just an ugly word. Sexually, that's just an ugly word. You know, we want to try to change the wording to make it not seem as bad. As well, we don't want to offend people who may be committing this. You got the idea of common law marriage. We want to be able to... We're not going to get married. We're not going to be considered to be married. That way, if something were to happen, we could be able to kind of separate and that's it. But we want to have all the different types of relationship status. Then you got the idea that, well, so many, you know, again, you know, just thinking about the youth, between 6 and 7 are active. So many people are active. So many people are wanting to have sex and everything like this, that it must be okay, is what the idea is. Just because everybody does it doesn't mean that it's okay. Is it truly a reason or is it an excuse? It's like that old cliche, you know, if everybody jumps off the building knowing that you're going to fall to your death, does that mean it's a good idea and you should do it? If you'll try to use this as a reason. Try to say that this is justifiable, but it's not. We're going to look at what the Bible says here in just a few moments. The world, culture, society, however you want to word it, has demanded that we are to be tolerant of it. That you can't say anything about this or else there's going to be consequences. And we could talk about all different types of subjects concerning sex and looking at different ideas, different topics around this. And people say, you got to be taught. If you don't agree, and what it is if you don't agree with me, then we have a problem. That's where we see the problem. That the world has said, if you don't agree that we need to be tolerant, and if anyone speaks against it or says anything, there's going to be consequences. You can talk about homosexuality, for instance. And there are cities in our country that have been trying to vie for preachers having to have their sermon outlines okayed by a city council before they could even be able to preach these lessons. You've probably seen some of that over these last few years concerning that topic. But it's just continuing to progress, continuing to grow. And we see the danger behind it. But let's talk. Let's talk about what the Bible says about this topic. We'll look at a few different verses for a few moments. Go to Matthew. Actually, Matthew chapter 15 is our first one we want to look at. And in Matthew chapter 15, let's look at verse 19 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 and verse 20. Where Jesus says here, Matthew 15, verse 19 and verse 20, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Notice verse 20, you know, Jesus pointed out some of these things that were going on with those who he was teaching. "These things," as he says in verse 20, "which defile a man." But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Again, you know, here it is, they're having this concern about the tradition of how to be able to wash, how to be able to wash your hands, how to be able to wash pitchers and cups. And Jesus goes on pointing out there, but you know, these people were thinking, this defiles an individual if you don't wash in a certain way. But Jesus says, there are other things that defiles an individual. And again, we look at that where it says, you know, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are things that truly defile a man. What's it mean to defile an individual? To bring shame or to bring wrong upon an individual. to bring stain, to, you know, as we could talk about so many different things. But let's continue on looking at what the Bible says about sexual immorality and talking about fornication. Let's look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's look at verse 9 together. We read verse 18 down to verse 20. But let's consider verse 9 just for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Where it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of heaven?" He says, "Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites." Let's just read verse 10 as well. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." He goes on to list so many different things. And he talks about some of this, talking about sexual immorality, talking about some of these sexual sins, whether it is fornication, whether it is adultery, whether it's homosexual, whether it's sodomy, all these different things. He says in verse 10, if you practice such things, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, our culture wants to be able to make it look okay and make it seem okay. Let's continue on. Let's look at another verse. In Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, let's look at verse 19 together. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, "The works of the flesh." Works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Drop down to the end of verse 21 with me. He says there, "Of which I tell you, for I just also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." You get Paul writing in another letter talking about the idea of talking about fornication, talking about sexual relations with someone else, will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we're going to commit these types of acts, there are consequences to those actions. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, we continue on with this thought. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. He says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints." Again, who is Paul writing to here? He's writing to Christians in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. He goes on to say, let these things, he goes on listing other things in the next few verses, but don't let these things be named among you as Christians. Don't let it be named among you as saints together. Let's continue on with our next thought over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, where he goes on, this is Paul again writing to Christians, says, "Therefore put to death," put away. Don't let it be involved. Don't be involved with this. "Put to death your members which are on earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Verse 6, again, we look at verse 6. "Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience." Again, we look at what it says here. Here's what it says about these sins. And he goes on mentioning fornication, talking about sexual immorality. We talk about some of this. It says, the wrath of God will come upon them. When God judges, if we are committing this, the wrath of God will come upon us if we do not repent and turn from it. Let's go on over into Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Hebrews 13 and verse 4. We're talking about marriage here a little bit. Marriage is honorable among all, but undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Again, when we talk about this, here it is. Here's how God has viewed marriage and how we are trying to promote marriage, is trying to show what marriage is. The bed is undefiled. No fornicating, no adultery, none of these types of acts. Because God will judge us all in the end. Now let's consider one other one as we look over in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and verse 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and verse 17. 1 John 2, verse 15 down to verse 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Again, we look at some of the different things. You know, John kind of summing it all up. Lust of flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, these are things that are of the world. They're not of God. If you're not, if these things are not of God, then what is the outcome of it? These things are going to pass away. These things are going to pass away with the world. So as we look at what the Bible says about this, and I'm just using just a few of these verses. There are many other references that we could look at together. But I just want to just point out these things and looking at all these different verses of what the Bible says, because when it talks about fornication, when it talks about sexual immorality, we talk about sin. It's sin. Simply put, it's sin. If you want to commit these types of actions, if you want to continue in these types of actions, again, Paul points out, Jesus points out, it defiles an individual. Paul says, sons will be named among you. If you practice such things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So what is the result of it? What's that saying? It says it's sin. Anyone practices that thing and does not turn from it is separated from God. But, you know, as we look at this, I want to look at an example. We talked about this recently on Wednesday night. Paul said to flee sexual immorality. And I can't help but think several times in putting this sermon together this morning, thinking about how Paul was mentioning Joseph. And that example takes place over in Genesis. If you want to go back to Genesis chapter 39, and let's look at verses 1 down to verse 13. You know, Paul had access to scroll. He was a man that was very knowledgeable in his ways, knowledgeable of the old law, knowledgeable of these events. These things were recorded down, and he had knowledge of it, knowing his background and everything. I can't help but think Paul was pointing out this very type of action in Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 down to verse 13. It says here, Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 down to verse 13. It says, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and he served him. And it was here at his house. Again, we see he had all four. Verse 5 says, so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, then lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. He has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are his wife, How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was that she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her, to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside. She caught him by his garment and said, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was when she saw that he had fled, left his garment in her hand and fled outside. We see where she goes on to make a false accusation against Joseph as we read those few verses after. But just look at this example. Paul said to flee sexual immorality. Told to flee. And again, we talk about sex. We talk about the works of the flesh. We talk about how it's fornication, you know, all these different things that are mentioned. And we're kind of pointing out about fornication, these different types of things this morning, specifically on fornication. But Joseph, a man of authority, he had been sold. We've been talking about this on Wednesday night. He'd been sold by his brothers down to the Ishmaelites again, finally, and then they go into Egypt. We have Potiphar buying him as a slave and everything. But we see God was with him. God blessed him, and Potiphar gave him this authority eventually at some point, having him be in charge of his whole household. We also learned Joseph was a good-looking man. Handsome, informed, beautiful, he's a good-looking man. And someone took notice of it, and that was his master's wife. Potiphar's wife came to him, wanted him, said, "Lie with me. Be with me." But Joseph refused. But then it became a constant thing happening. Day by day, as we look at all this, "Lie with me. Be with me." And Joseph refused. Finally, as we look, nobody's there in the house except for her and Joseph. Everybody was outside the house. She thought she had him. Got him pinned, somewhere against the wall or somewhere, "You're going to be with me now, and I got you by the garment as well. I've got you. You're going to lie with me. You're going to be with me." What did Joseph do? He fled. He took off as far as he could get, as quick as he could, leaving that garment. It was better to be out there losing your garment rather than doing that. He says, "I have been put in charge of this house. Why would I want to disgrace my master? Why would I want to bring shame? Why would I want to do anything against my master? That is not mine. You are someone else's wife. You are not my wife." He took off and he fled from the situation. He ran away from it as best as he could. Now we see, again, the false accusations and the struggles that he had, but he did the right thing. So what do we do? What do we do in these situations? Again, let's just look at a few verses, looking at the Bible again. Over in Hebrews, we read this verse a few moments ago, but again, go back to Hebrews. Chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, where we read here, "Marriage is honorable among all, bed undefiled, but fornicators, adulterers, God will judge." Some people will look at it and say, "Well, we're going to get married one day. Before that, we can be able to have this type of relate. We can have sexual relations beforehand." That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be able to wait. You know, one of the things I've seen, I've had some talks about it before with others, but one of the things you look forward to being with your spouse is being able to have these intimate type of relations and being able to wait. Again, marriage is something that's honorable and blessed by God. We're to keep things pure and undefiled. again, that Jesus said back in Matthew 15, verse 19 and 20, that fornication, adultery, these are things that defile a man. Here we read again in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. We are to keep the bed undefiled, because God will judge in the end. Let's also consider Acts chapter 15 and verse 20. Acts chapter 15 and verse 20, you know, there's some instruction by those that were gathered together in this council in Acts chapter 15 and verse 20. Now let's just consider what some instructions, some encouragement, some things that they were considering for not only Paul, but all those that were there that day. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 20, he says here, Acts 15, verse 20, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. Here are some words of instruction, some words of encouragement. To abstain from certain things that might cause problems, that will cause problems. Abstain from the pollutions by idols, things polluted by things strangled, and again, from sexual immorality. To flee from it, to turn from it. And instead, what we are to be doing, what we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We go over to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. You know, there are sins that are committed in our body that we commit harm, but for sexual immorality, it harms the inside. And Paul goes on to say, here's how we're to present our body, both inside and outside, as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are we supposed to be living our life? We're to present our bodies in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable to God. It is something that is reasonable that God has asked of you and I. You know, as we read there in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 down to verse 19, he goes on to say there, to flee from sexual immorality. And think about it, because we were bought at a price. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from our sin. We have been bought at a price to be able to turn from sin. Because we're talking about sexual immorality. We're talking about fornication. We're talking about adultery. We're talking about any type of sin. We're talking about sin. We're talking about any of these different things. We're talking about sin. We've been bought at a price because Jesus' blood has cleansed us from all sin. In 1 John chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5 down to verse 10, we talk about that great price that we were bought at. Let's consider those verses over in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 down to verse 10. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 down to verse 10. This is a message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. We were bought, all of us here this morning, been bought at a price, and the price of blood. God, as we know, sent His Son into the world and to make atonement or to make sacrifice for the sins of the people. We read this over in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, again, we talk about the great price that Jesus Christ was willing to endure on our behalf. And to make that sacrifice for us. We read over in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and verse 18. Therefore, In all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Again, speaking about Jesus Christ, speaking about what he was willing to do. Come and take on the form of flesh and blood. Brother Chuck was mentioned this morning in John chapter 1 about the Word being Jesus Christ. He came in, the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ took on the form of flesh. It says there, he might be a merciful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation, to make the ultimate sacrifice, to make the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. God sent his Son to be the sacrifice for the people. We've been bought at a price, and a price of blood. To give, Jesus was willing to give his life for the sins of all. And again, we talk about all the different sins. What we got to do is we got to turn from it. We got to repent. We got to make changes in our life. We got to be washed in the blood. We got to be able to have our sins washed in baptism. We've been bought at a price. We're to give God our all and to be alive in the world. So what do? When we talk about sin, when we talk about this, talk about this example, talk about what the Bible says about sexual immorality, where to flee from it, where to turn from it, and where to pursue a life of godliness. We could look in 1 Timothy chapter 6, looking at some of the different things about fleeing from and fleeing to, fleeing from the youthful lust and turning to God. Talk about sin. Talk about what sin does to an individual. It corrupts an individual. It separates an individual from God. And if you're committing sin in your life, you need to turn from it. Whether it's this or if it's another type of sin, you need to turn from it. God has a view of sin, and he says if you've committed sin, your name will be blotted out from the book of life. But there's hope. As we look at this morning, there's hope. You have the opportunity. We all have the opportunity this morning to make our life right with God if we've committed sin. What we need to do is we need to flee from sin. Just like Joseph. If we can assist anyone in answering the invitation call, if you need to have your sins washed in the waters of baptism this morning, you're ready to make your life right with him, we'll be glad to help you. Be glad to rejoice with you. Be glad to do what we can to help you begin that life anew with God. Or maybe this morning you realize that you may be living in sin. Maybe you're committing sexual, maybe you're committing fornication, maybe you're committing one of these types of sins, maybe you're committing any type of sin in your life, and you realize that you're living in sin and you need to turn back to the fold of God. We'll be glad to pray for you. If you're willing to repent of your sins this morning, we'll be glad to pray for you to have your soul restored. If you need prayers of encouragement, we'll be glad to assist you in that manner also. Whatever the case is this morning, whatever is going on, if you need the prayers of the saints here, or you need to have your sins washed in the waters of baptism, the time is now to respond. The time is now to act. And the time is now that you can do it. All you have to do is have a seal on the front. You can do it now. Walk together while we stand and while we sing. God is God, the prodigal come without delay. Hear, O you.